Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Well, it's a beautiful afternoon here at Detroit, Michigan. Good to have your company if you are just joining us. It is the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship Chevrolet Sports Car Classic, and it is qualifying. And it's Jeremy Shaw and John Hindorf in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Last time for the sports cars on the island. And we wait to find out whether we'll be back at Detroit next year when we get the IMSA schedule at Road America later on. Good afternoon, Jeremy. How are you?
Very, very well. Thank you very much indeed. Yes, it's a we can see from the island downtown, which is where around the Ren Center, the Renaissance Center, the Ren Center is known, is the downtown track was and will be again for next year. But this is a great venue.
It is a 2.3-mile circuit, if memory serves, with a nice compact layout running around. It's been extended, actually, over the last few years, and I think that makes it a far better circuit. Not your obvious pointy and squirty circuit, with a couple of quicker corners. Obviously, the signature James Scott Memorial Fountain. Lots of pictures around that. And whatever else we think about racing here at Belle Isle, what you can say, Jeremy, is over the last couple of decades, really, over $20 million has been put into this area to bring it back into use by the good burghers, the good citizens of Detroit, and make it a public park again, a facility again. And the Penske organisation and Penske Events have done a cracking job in reinvesting in this along with the city of Detroit.
Yes, and it's certainly been been through a major rejuvenation, not only the whole island, and this racetrack, I think, has been a part of that rejuvenation as well. And the whole area, in fact, to the sort of northeast, if you like, of downtown Detroit, used to be pretty rough, but there's a lot of rejuvenation there as well, gentrification perhaps in some ways, and it's a much better area in many, many ways than it was, you know, 20 odd years ago when we first started going to the downtown circuit. But it's a tremendously challenging track. It's pretty bumpy around here. Lots of different changes of surface, but it's a great track to drive. It's a real challenge, John, for the drivers and for the teams to get the setups right.
Yeah, I'll absolutely agree with you. If you turn right coming off the island, off Belle Isle, and turn right into the areas around there, even in my relatively limited time of coming here over the last decade or so, the changes that have been made around there, the eateries, the neighbourhoods have been smartened up. It's really quite a lovely place now. Plenty of green around as well. And bizarrely, of course, this is where all of our gyros go completely wrong, because we're in the United States and we're looking across the river south into Canada. Yeah, that one messes you up, doesn't it? Two qualifying sessions. We only have two groups of cars here. Just 16 cars, 10 GTDs and the 16 PIs, and it is the GT Daytonas that are here. Remember, it's Le Mans qualifying weekend or Le Mans test weekend this weekend, so quite a lot of the works teams and drivers are there. There's a fair few that are going to be jetting off from here or from the south of France, where there's the 1,000 Ks at Paul Ricard. So a very busy weekend for endurance drivers. With, as I said, 10 cars here, this is the biggest category for GTD. And this round of the sprint championship, Jeremy, for the GTDs.
Indeed so, yes it is. We're more than halfway through the season now for the GPI category. This is round 6 out of 10. For GTD it's round 5, so halfway through their season, and round 4 for the Sprint Cup as well. So by now, the championships are, we get it down to crunch time, aren't we? And for some of the teams, this is becoming more and more crucial, particularly if you're looking later on at the GPI cars. We've got GTD cars out on track at the moment, but for later on for DP, the 6 races down, it'll be after the end of this weekend.
At IMSA Radio, if you'd like to get in touch with us here at the Hagerty Global Broadcast booth, good to have your company. The green flag is out. The engine you can hear in the background is that of a BMW, who will be looking to their runners this weekend to claw back a bit of prize after what, frankly, was a very disappointing Nürburgring 24 hours last weekend for the Munich brand. Came into the event as favourites, but with some bad luck and a few accidents, they didn't get any kind of result that they wanted. That went to Audi. Audi not here, of course, not represented now in North America in GT racing in IMSA competition. TCRs in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. We'll see them at Watkins Glen at the end of the month for the Ceylon 6 Hours, which is the next event on the schedule. Paul Miller Racing has Madison Snow behind the wheel. Two Lexus RCFs this weekend, again, both in GT Daytona. Frankie Montecalvo in the 12 and Roman De Angelis in the number, and Kyle Kirkwood in the number 17. Kyle Kirkwood doing double duty with IndyCar this weekend. And some good news for Kyle coming through, Jeremy, about his future.
Yeah, more good news coming for Kyle Kirkwood. First of all, a stunning fastest overall he was at a practice session that concluded only, 40 minutes or so ago here. The first practice session of the weekend for the NGT IndyCar Series. Fastest of all for AJ Foyt Racing, so that's a feather in his cap. And of course, he was quickest also in the second practice session for IMSA earlier on this afternoon. So he's having a tremendous day so far. He will be qualifying at number 17 car. It would have been driven otherwise by Jack Hawksworth, but he had a motorcycle, a motocross accident. Silly bugger, to be honest, has hurt himself. So best wishes for a speedy recovery, Jack. And it'll be Ben Barnicot stepping in for Jack this weekend in that number 17 car. But it's going to be very interesting to see how that car runs here this weekend. It's a heck of a challenge to hop from one of these cars into an Indy car and then back again.
Amazing.
All in the space of an hour, a couple of hours.
Thank you very much indeed to our dedicated camera operators and of course all of our technical crew from NASCAR Productions, Richie Barsilli giving us the vision today. And if you're joining us in the US or further afield, no blocks, no brakes, no charge for qualifying, and we're delighted to have you in. Just getting up to speed at the moment with the drivers feeling their way in. Hello also to Laurie, Sarah and Adriana, who are part of Keith D'Alessandro's team up in Charlotte this weekend. Without them all working together as a team, we couldn't see all the way around the circuit. Stephen McAleer goes to the top for Team Korthoff and the number 32 Mercedes AMG. It's Robert McGuinness for Carbomb with Peregrine Lamborghini, the dark grey car with the green highlights. Ryan Hardwick for Wright Motorsports in the number 16 Porsche, the light blue car. Frank Montecalvo, and he's next up. Russell Ward in the Winwood Racing number 57. Sorry, Jerry, go ahead.
Well, that team caught off Mercedes, car number 32. It was also fastest in the first practice session this morning. That was with Mike Skeen at the wheel, but with Mike having skipped the race at, which race did he miss? Laguna, wasn't it?
Race for Laguna Seca.
He had to miss because he had a positive COVID test. But his regular season co-driver, Stephen McAleer, leads the championship coming into this round. He's 12 points ahead the number 16 Wright Motorsports Porsche of Ryan Hardwick and Jan Halen. And for that team, Courthope Motorsports team, that's a pretty remarkable effort, given that it's its first full-season campaign. Just did a few races last season to kind of get ready for the 2022 season. Various upheavals that took place over the winter months. But, boy, they've been absolutely superb all the way through this season. And Stephen McAleer not only leading the points, but fastest in the early stages of this session.
Who have we not mentioned? Robbie Fawley's in the Turner Motorsport BMW M4 GT3, the number 96 car, and Aidan Reid for Rick Ware Racing in the NSX. That's the former Gradient chassis, the number 51 car. I think that's everything. Oh, Madison Snow, of course, in the number one. He was first out. 132.272, Jeremy. How does that compare with what we've seen in previous years here on Belle Isle?
Yeah, that's the lap record here in these cars was set in set a few years ago, actually back in 2018 by Brian Sellers at 128.9. The pole time last year was Richard Highstand in an Audi at 130.5, and the fastest time this morning was 129.993. Actually, this afternoon, the second session. By Carl Kirkwood in the Lexus 129.9. So that's kind of the benchmark to aim for. I think that record by Brian Sellers back in 2018, different tyres back then, and slightly different specifications. So I don't think we're going to get anywhere near that. So that 129.9 early this afternoon, the fastest time of the day so far. 131.1 so far for Stephen McAleer.
Last time around, whoops, spin four. The blue and yellow number 96 of Robbie Fawley, who just improved to fifth position in his BMW M4 GT3. He's down at the far end of the circuit, and can he get that car moving? I think he had some forward motion there. He's
turn four.
Yeah, I think three. Yeah, three. He's gone straight on. Turn three to turn four, moving again now. Now he comes through onto the waterside run. That's Strand, isn't it? As he heads through down towards the Scott Frank Fountain.
That's the car that won the most recent race at Mid Ohio a few weeks ago, after the disqualification or put to the back of the number 70 Inception Racing McLaren. It took the checkered flag in first position. But it was underweight. I think it was underweight was the
was
the problem for that car. So went to the back. So they didn't get a chance to celebrate on top of the podium. But Robbie Fawley and Bill Oblin, who extends his record now as the most successful sports car driver in North American history, 65 wins to the credit of Bill Oblin, and another one there also there for Robbie Fawley. That was his seventh win.
Wow.
This championship.
Robert McGuinness goes to the top for Car Barn, and the Lamborghini, the number 39 dark grey car, chasing through. Russell Ward in third position, so the best time now down to a 130.351. quick note on Bill Oberlin: he was at the Nürburgring for the 24 hours. Only time I've ever heard Bill tell anybody he didn't want to drive. Wasn't interested at all in going out on the Nürburgring Nordschleife. Had a good chat with him and with John Edwards. As I say, not the weekend that BMW wanted in the big race. Bill was there to race in the BMW Legends event in the new BMW M2 CS. Qualified on pole position by about 0.4 seconds. From Johnny.
0.4 seconds.
Yeah, round
it's a bit
the.
Tight.
Well, it was only round the Grand Prix circuit. It was Johnny Cecotto who was second in qualifying, and Eric van der Poel who was third. They reversed the grid, and Bill Oberlin, despite having to check up at the first corner for an accident, drove through the grid and won by 5 seconds. He was right on it. Cecotto was delayed and was closing at the end, but I think Bill had it covered. Great to see those drivers out there. Jochen Mass was out there, Harald Gross, and Olaf Mantai was driving one of the cars as well.
Wow, what fun.
Fantastic stuff. We're about halfway through. No, a little bit more than that. About two-thirds of the way through. Madison Snow goes to the top with a 130.106.
Very impressive. He's already had two poles this season already in that number one car for Paul Miller Racing, despite the fact they missed the first race of the season at Daytona. They've had only four rounds of the regular season GTD Championship because the round earlier this year at Long Beach was only counted towards points for the Sprint Cup. So that's where the slight discrepancy is there.
Yeah, the Sprint Cup and the Endurance Championship coming together from basically IMSA responding to what the paddock were asking for. Some people wanted to do just the shorter races. They introduced the Sprint Cup a wee while ago, and then it made sense to introduce the Endurance Cup as well. And we have got teams like, in fact, Gradient with their NSX. They did the Sprint Cup last year, they're doing the Endurance Cup this year, so they'll have done a full season but spread it over 2 years, basically.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing, isn't it, about what IMSA has done here with the Sprint Cup and the Endurance Cup as well. I really like that, and clearly so does Gradient Racing. And we've seen the Peregrine Racing team do a sort of similar thing as well. They did just one of the series last season, and then this year they're doing the whole campaign. That number 39 car, Robert McGinn, is sharing the Lamborghini with Jeff Westfall, who's one of very few drivers who've won here on these streets in this field this weekend.
Another new Anderson best.
Snow quicker,
yes,
again. Wow,
he's gone,
yeah,
quicker again. He's found about just on a half a second there, and he's a tenth and a half ahead of Kyle Kirkwood. Roman De Angelis, just 0.03 of a second further back. 0.082 further back from that in fourth is Frankie Montecalvo. The top five, when you add Russell Ward in, separated by a quarter of a second until Roman De Angelis blows through in a 29.3 for Heart of Racing Aston Martin and goes to the top by almost 0.2 of a second. Huge lap from Roman De Angelis.
Yeah, that's only 0.4 of a second away then, away from Brian Sellers' outright GTD record here back from 2018. So very good effort by Roman De Angelis. But now Kirkwood goes quicker again. 1:29.363 for Carl Kirkwood from Florida. Roman De Angelis, this is his home racetrack. He's Canadian. He lives south of here, as you were saying, John, despite the fact we're in America here, not Canada. But Canada is, as you said a few minutes ago, south of here. And he lives in Windsor, Ontario, just across the Detroit River here. So he knows this place well. He comes over here regularly to the Detroit area for various sporting events and whatever else, and to fly out of here as well, primarily. He's eclipsed at the moment there by Carl Kirkwood, back to the front in that car number 17 for Vassar Sullivan.
Now, where is Madison Snow? Just coming to the start-finish line now. Goes across the line and goes back to the top. Well, that's impressive. That's very impressive from the young man from Utah. And that is a 1:29.266. It's tightened right back up at the top again. Top four, Jeremy, within a tenth of a second or thereabouts.
Fantastic. Really, really tight up there. Madison Snow, he's got this qualifying nailed, hasn't he? As we said earlier on, he's already got two poles this season, looking for number three here. We always talk about balance of performance in GTD and the IMSA series in general, where the cars are kind of kept as closely matched as possible by the IMSA technical team. There was only one change for this weekend in the GTD ranks. There was 15 kilos added to the BMW for this weekend. That car has been certainly the car to beat, I think, in the last several rounds of this championship, having got the balance wrong earlier in the season. I guess it's 10 kilos added to the BMW this weekend. But Madison Snow right there challenging for this pole position.
Now let's watch the other cars come through. We've only got 30 seconds left. Remember, if you are on a lap, you will get to keep it. Montecalvo goes through and somehow squeezes in between Carl Kirkwood, his teammate, and Madison Snow. Top three now celebrated. Well, we can celebrate it. They are separated by a third of a tenth of a second. 0.031. 31 thousandths. This is more like bobsleigh than qualifying at the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lea. Extraordinary stuff here. And De Angelis goes to the top at the checkered flag.
Yeah, by 0.072. Man, this is like Kirkwood coming up now towards the line. He comes around turn 14 and he will take the checkered flag in moments. Let's see where the time goes. He goes to the top. Kirkwood, a 129.096. What a great lap by the Floridian there. Wow.
Meantime, we're waiting to see what Madison Snow's doing. He's just coming down the strand towards turn 7, that hard right turn in towards the hospitality units and looping around the back of the fountain there, the James Scott Memorial Fountain, as he heads into the third and final sector now. He's done a decent middle sector. Robert McGuinness is into the pits. He'll be no better than sixth. Still cars out there. Russell Ward still out there. Frankie Montecalvo out there. Ryan Hardwick pits for Wright Motorsport. Porsche not going so well here. Sitting down in 10th and almost 2 seconds away from the best time. Here comes Madison Snow across the line now and goes through and does not improve. So he will be on the inside of row two and it will be Kyle Kirkwood for Vassar Sullivan in a 1-4 for Lexus RCF, who will take the pole position. Lexus, Aston Martin, BMW, Lexus, Acura, Lamborghini, your top six. Best of the Mercedes-AMG GT3s, Russell Ward for Wynwood in seventh. Alongside him will be Stephen McAleer, then Turner Motorsport, and their BMW and the Porsche of Wright Motorsport right at the back of the field. Wow.
Wow. Stunning effort from Kirkwood. This is his second pole position. He's only his eighth start in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, but had the pole at Watkins Glen last season in the long distance races, which I think he's probably planning on being at the Glen in a few weeks' time as well. That was a tremendous lap by Kirkwood. And what a day it's been for him. He was fastest in the second session this afternoon in this car, then hopped into AJ Foyt's IndyCar. Fastest of all in that section, again by milliseconds, take over Pato O'Ward, and now hops back in the Lexus and puts that on the provisional pole position. He's got to get through tech, of course, but what a great lap that was from Kyle Kirkwood. He is just riding the crest of a wave. He has been for the last several years, hasn't he? He blitzed the road to Indy. He became the first driver to win all three steps on the road to Indy, USF 2000, Indy Pro 2000, and last year in Indy Lights, during which he won both races here at the raceway on Belle Isle. So he loves this racetrack, but that was a tremendous lap, and he will be absolutely over the moon with that one.
Well, if you are just joining us, what a session that was. GT Daytona, and your top two in a tenth of a second, and your top four separated by around about 2/10. So provisionally then, it will be Lexus RCF GT3 and Vassar Sullivan's Kyle Kirkwood on pole position. Got to get through tech, as Jeremy rightly says. And he is very happy indeed. Had time to change his race suit and adjust himself from driving the IndyCar earlier on.
I did it at Watkins Glen. This is my only second attempt to qualify a car in WeatherTech, and I've gotten
multiple. And as you hear that,
sure,
just confirming what Jeremy said, Watkins Glen, 6 hours, the sailing 6 hours. He was on pole last year, only the second time he has qualified a car, and he's batting 1,000 at the moment. Getting the applause from a knowledgeable crowd here. It'll be Lexus and Aston Martin on the front row of GTD, BMW and Lexus on row two, then Acura and Lamborghini on row three. His teammates straight out to come and have a chat with him. And that's the first part of the job done, Jeremy.
It certainly is there. Ben Barnicot there wraps his hands around. Good job, he says. He certainly did a good job there, did Carl Kirkwood. That was a tremendous effort. The pressure was on there. He'd been quickest on and off through that session, but he had to step it up on that last lap. And that's exactly what it did. Just over a tenth of a second then, that pole position for Carl Kirkwood over Roman De Angelis in the Aston Martin. That's the team, that Harter Racing team. They scored their first win here last season, and they're in a good position here again this weekend with Roman De Angelis second fastest on the grid, but a tremendous pole position for Carl Kirkwood.
Of course, it is the joint shortest race of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship season here on Belle Isle for the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix, presented by Lear. Just 100 minutes. Same distance as we have on the streets of Long Beach. And that may make for some slightly different strategy. We'll run that down for you tomorrow in our Michelin Countdown to Green with the Porsche keys to the race as well. And then full live coverage for you before Michelin Post Race Tech on IMSA Radio RS2. IMSAradio.com for all your IMSA content, not just this weekend, but 365 days of the year and 24/7. It's all there, it's all free, and you can listen back to previous races on the archive, as well as some features about the different IMSA championships. Just WeatherTech here this weekend before we have the bumper weekend up in upstate New York in the Finger Lakes region at the end of the month. So, Carl Kirkwood claims his second pole position for Vasser Sullivan coming out next. We will be jumping across to the fastest cars in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, the DPI cars. Was that James Sullivan, Sully, in there as well a moment or two ago, Jeremy?
It was indeed there, yeah, to take that celebratory photo with the Motul flag there with Carl Kirkwood. Yes, Sully, along with the Jimmy Vasser, of course, the two partners at Vasser Sullivan, this Lexus team, they've really done a super job. They caught the year that for the last few years they've been running dual programs, both in WeatherTech and also in the NTT IndyCar Series. This year, though, just focusing on the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship program with Lexus, they're bringing a second regular GTD car. They generally run a GTD Pro for Ben Barnicot and Jack Hawksworth, and then the regular GTD car for Frankie Montecalvo and Aaron Tielitz. But both last time out at Lexus, at Mid-Ohio, where Lexus sponsored the race, Lexus brought along that second car there for Richard Highestand and Jack Hawksworth. This weekend, bringing that second car back again for Ben Barnicot and Carl Kirkwood. And Carl says thank you very much. What a week has been for him. You talked about earlier on, it was announced this week that he will be rejoining the Andretti Autosport fold for the 2023 season, having won the Indy Lights Championship with them last season, now driving for AJ Foyt in the IndyCars, but that was kind of just a holding year. He'll be back to Andretti Autosport to drive the
27 cars.
For that, Rossi's car.
Alex Rossi's car, who's heading off to McLaren SP. That news breaking while we were on air on Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday, that Carl was taken off from Rossi, and then I think one of the less well kept secrets in the IndyCar paddock that Rossi was heading over to McLaren, who may well be running three cars next year in the IndyCar paddock. Big time of change in sports cars as well, with new cars coming in for next season in the GTP, the newly named GTP category. Ricky Taylor will be qualifying the Acura for Konica Minolta. He's sitting in the car at the moment. And same script here, 15 minutes. I do notice that Acura had some little teaser photographs for their car today in a camouflage sort of white out spotty livery on a camouflage white out spotty background, so you couldn't see very much of it.
No, and Cadillac's going to announce they're going to unveil their rendition of their car next week as well. So
BMW on Monday. BMW's GTP car will be revealed on Monday. And Porsche's GTP car revealed over the weekend of the Seal and 6 Hours of the Glen. That'll be the livery for both the WEC and the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. And the name of that car, we're just calling it a Porsche GTP at the moment, but it will have a number or a name of some description. And that will be getting its first public outing at the Goodwood Festival of Speed over the weekend of the Seal and 6 Hours of the Glen. And strong suspicion that that car will race before the end of the season if their testing schedule goes to plan. And they've had the most testing. Porsche have had the most testing for their GTP car because they have been doing all the testing on the spec parts for all the manufacturers. Yes, that's right. We have an outbreak of common sense and cooperation in sports car world, and Porsche have been testing things like the hybrid, etc. And that car is slated, if all goes well, to run at Bahrain at the end of the season in WEC. All that cooperation from the LMDH, the IMSA version of the car from the manufacturers, it's already kicked off in hypercar. Haven't seen, we've seen Peugeot's car, but we haven't seen it raced yet. And they're already having an argument about tyre sizes, and Ferrari are kicking up a fuss. We haven't even seen their car yet. But that's, at the moment, at least confined to the FIA WEC and Le Mans. Seems to be a slightly more collegiate approach to the GTP regulations. Clock has started, and the current iteration, this is DPI, the second gen DPIs, I suppose you would call them. They are out on the track, and it is Tristan Vautier driving the JDC Miller Motorsports Cadillac number 5. Connington Minolta, as we said, Ricky Taylor. Olivier Pla drafted in this weekend. Tristan Nunes has lost his drive, Jeremy, for Whelan Engineering. A results-based game, and Oli Pla is in the seat with his friend, Pete Buttarani.
Yeah, Olivier Pla had been kicked out from Meyer Shank last season, but he's found a lifeline here in with the Actual Express team. He, of course, shares with Pete Buttarani, doesn't he? One of the Glickenhaus cars in the World Endurance Championship.
Same management as well, known. Jeremy.
Yeah, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
So, well known there. But, last couple of years, quite frankly, he hasn't really been on the pace over here, I think.
Very good qualifier,
but fantastic qualifier and hugely experienced. He's raced here twice before. He raced here last year, finished sixth here last year. Also had a podium finish back here in 2014, back when he was with the Ligier. So he knows this track well, and interesting that they would choose him to take that seat. I thought there'd be plenty of drivers could have been on their shopping list, but they've gone for Olivier Pla, gone for the experience. We'll see whether he can deliver any more than Tristan Nunes is. Clearly, the team really didn't appear to be giving Tristan much of an opportunity. He drove the first few minutes of each of the last couple of races, and then they pulled him out. But they have managed to finish on the podium the last two times out. So, it's been three podium finishes this season already for that team, and they want to challenge for the championship.
Tom Blomqvist for Mershank Racing's Acura, number 60. That's the pink and black car, AutoNation Sirius XM machine. Tristan Fortier for JDC Miller Motorsports. Can't remember if I said that. I think I did. And Oli Pla goes straight to the top with a 1:26.948. He's particularly good normally in places like Watkins Glen, where the surface in recent years has been a bit smoother. Tristan Fortier goes to the top now with a 1:23.640.
Yeah, so we're still four seconds or probably away from where we would be in qualifying. Fastest time of the day so far was set in the second session by Sebastian Bourdais in a 0-1 Cadillac, 1:19.307. Fastest time in the first session was the sister car, Earl Bamber, at 120.1. And that 119.307 by Bourdais was faster than the existing lap record here for these cars, which was Juan Pablo Montoya back in 2019, 119.373. So I think that record is going to take a beating here this afternoon, John.
Yeah, absolutely agree. It's Jeremy Shaw and John Hindorf in the Haggerty Global broadcast booth with just on 10 minutes still to go. Mustang sampling number 5 just heading through and down the long straight towards turn 3 and 4 before heading out towards the river and Strand. So quick down there before sweeping in. He's a bit further around than I thought. He's just gone by the start-finish line and past the commentary positions there, where they seem to be pointing straight at us before they turn in. Fortier goes quicker again, 121.6. Time's coming down all the time. Haven't mentioned Sebastian Bourdais and Alex Lean yet. They've just gone out on the track for Cadillac Racing, the two Chip Ganassi cars, the 01 and the 02. They have just come out onto the track, so taking a wee bit of time, maybe trying to do a different warm-up procedure for their Michelin tyres. But the teams can't touch the cars in these 15-minute sessions, so you go out with the fuel that you're going to use and you put the tyre pressures in that you're going to use. So you've got to get your starting temperatures and pressures absolutely spot on, Jeremy.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it is so competitive in DPI that you want to take advantage of every opportunity you can. If you go out a little bit later on, you put a little bit less fuel on board, 3 laps less fuel perhaps on board the two Ganassi run Cadillac Racing entries, 01 and 02. They sat out the first 5 minutes of this session, so just 10 minutes for them for their qualifying. That's plenty of time to get these Michelin tyres, you know, running at their optimal. So we're going to see what times we can see here. There's only 6 cars out on the track right now, so traffic certainly shouldn't be a problem. I don't want to hear that excuse from any of the
good
drivers.
Point.
You've got plenty of time around this 2.35-mile circuit to get yourself some clear running. And but the lap times are certainly going to come down to the last couple of minutes in this session. Time's just going faster and faster. First guy in the 19s then is Ricky Taylor in the Acura car number 10 at 119.6 for him, 119.7. With the Tom Blomqvist, who this is his first time here at the raceway on Belle Isle. I believe this is the only track on the schedule in which he has not raced previously. That's Tom Blomqvist in car number 60.
Halfway through the session, and the number 1 Cadillac, that's the Cadillac with the black front and the lighter coloured rear. I hesitate to call it white, it's kind of a chalky colour. Heading down again with the checkers and the stripe just gone through it there. Fortier has just gone through and did improve, 120.3. Waiting for the 01 to come through now. Where's he? Just down at turn 6 at the moment, about to go through turn 7 onto the waterfront. The blue and black number 10 is the Konica Minolta Acura. That's the quickest car at the moment with Ricky Taylor with that one, 19.6. But he's not... Oh, he has just improved. I was going to say he's not going to improve this time around. How about a 119.1, Jeremy? That's a big chunk of time that Ricky Taylor's just taken out of the field. And Blomqvist goes through in a 19.6. So that's about where Ricky was before that last lap.
And by 0.2 of a second, then a new track record in qualifying for Ricky Taylor. That car already had 2 poles this season. Number 01 car has had 3 poles this season so far for Sebastian Bourdais.
Earlier on, Kyle Kirkwood put the Vassar Sullivan Lexus on pole position for GT Daytona ahead of the Aston Martin of Roman De Angelis and the Hart Racing team. Seb Bourdais goes through. Very, very impressive with a 1 minute 19 even. 119.017. a tenth of a quarter up on the field, and that is an extraordinary run for the 0-1. Yeah. Sebastian Bourdais in a rich vein of form at the moment, Jeremy.
But Alex Lynn is hanging it out here as well. Across the line, he goes there, the Englishman. Does he improve?
He does, but he stays in third.
Yeah, OK, so he lost a fair bit of time in that final sector because he went purple in the middle sector, did Alex Lynn. I think it was through the fountain section. The car was bouncing around and all over the place. He had to gather it all up. I think cost himself a couple of tenths of a second there. And that would be the margin between first and four, as Lynn is right now. But the day fastest at 119.017. He did improve again last time around, 119.05. Ricky Taylor, boy, it's
wow,
tight
that's
up
tight.
Again.
Yeah, that's an improvement for the Conyngham and Alta Acura. So 0.033 of a second between first and second, 0.2 between second and third, 0.065 between third and fourth position. These are very fine margins indeed. See who's on a quick one at the moment. The 0-1 on the circuit just goes across the start finish line, and Sebastian Bourdais with a somewhat tardy 1:20.7. That was a bit of a slow down lap, I think. Or did he make a mistake out there? 0-2. Alex Lynn had a big wiggle and ran on into the seventh corner, the right-hander heading into, if you like, the arena section round there, where there's an awful lot of hospitality just before you get towards the fountain section. And actually, it was a pretty fine save. Oh, and into the wall a moment or two ago for Sebastian Bourdais, I think, in the 0-1 Cadillac from Chip Ganassi Racing, Jeremy. That was at turn two, and that looked pretty substantial, a pretty substantial hit.
Yeah, was that Bourdais again?
I think it was.
Maybe, yeah, it could well be, because he was slow in the first sector there, 27.8 on this lap.
It was Lynn that ran long in seven in the O2 car, but I'm pretty certain it was the other one that went into the wall. Look on the right-hand side of that black and chalk-coloured Cadillac and see if there's a little bit of a stripe on the right hand side of that car. Meantime, Lynn is trying to improve again with 2.5 minutes to go, and he's very tight to the wall indeed at the far side of the circuit.
I think he realised I think he's lifted off there, because I think he realised he was about to crash that car. So he's kind of called it quits.
Turn 12, that was for Lynn. Right, let's go back and just... Oh, yeah, that's quite a substantial sideways blow on the wall for Sebastian Bourdais. It's exceptionally bumpy there. There is a bridge over a water course, and he just lost it, and it was the right rear that got into the wall. It was a sideways hit, but he's been very fortunate there, Jeremy. He's white-walled the Michelin tyre, which looks quite stylish, in fairness. But he's, I think, still got everything pointing in the right direction.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah. He's had a lot of success here in the past. He's won twice in the IndyCars around here as Sebastian Bourdais, so he knows his way around this racetrack. And he's looking good here still at the moment. It's only 0.033 that he has in hand over Ricky Taylor. But Taylor hasn't given up yet, has he? We've still got a minute and a half remaining, so time for one more full lap.
At IMSA Radio, if you'd like to get your comments in front of Jeremy and at me. And Plar on a quick one there. Was he held up a little bit by the 0-2 of Alex Lynn as they were heading back to the start-finish line? Here comes Platt. Don't think he's going to improve.
Wow.
Blomqvist does, though.
Wow. 18.92 for Tom Blomqvist. That's not bad for your first time here on this racetrack. And Mike Shank is pretty pleased with that one, as he should be. That was a great lap by Tom Blomqvist. 118.928, the first sub 1:19 lap in a sports car around here. on this configuration of the racetrack in DPI trim, at least. And wow, Blanc is looking here at his first ever pole position.
Sebastian Bourdais trying to fight back, and he will fight back. He goes to the top. How about an 18.818? Another 10th taken away. He's flirting with the concrete walls here on Belle Isle for the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear for 2022. And Sebastian Bourdais then will not be denied. Vautier goes through, takes the checkered flag as the time has elapsed. He'll be no better than 5th position in the JDC Miller Motorsports Cadillac. It's one Cadillac against two Acuras. Make that one Acura now, because Ricky Taylor's gone through with the Conyngham Minolta number 10, the black and blue car. He's going to be no better than third. He did improve on that last lap to an 18.9. He's within a tenth of a second of Tom Blomqvist, who peels off into the pits. It's now only going to be the wheel and engineering car of Olivier Plat who could possibly do something to move himself up. He's 1.6 seconds away at the moment. Can he get closer to the front of the field? He moves up one position with a 120.298. He's into fifth position in the red and white number 31. Blomqvist took the checkered flag in the pit lane, and we have a new fastest qualifying time here on Belle Isle on the final visit by sports cars to this great circuit, and it belongs to Sebastian Bourdais in the 01 car, and it is a 118.818. Not sure what's happened to and he spun it on his slow down lap, I think, Sebastian Bourdais. So takes pole position, Jeremy, and then loops it.
I'm not sure it was a slowdown lap.
No, he was pushing. Yes, he hasn't taken the checkered flag. I apologise, Jeremy. You are right. So he was coming to one more lap and just looped it coming out of turn number 11 on the far side of the track. Peter Barron watching on there down in the pit lane.
He's going to reverse it down the racetrack here. He hasn't caused a red flag, so he's going to be able to keep that lap. I think the checkered flag is out now, so no worries there. He did a heck of a job not to hit the wall, didn't he? This is a very unforgiving street circuit. Most street circuits are unforgiving, but this one certainly is here with the bumps and everything else. But Bourdais managed to keep it off the wall, and that's yet another pole position for the qualifying expert. His fourth pole of the season then for Sebastian Bourdais. He's sixth in total. And that car already has scored more points than anybody else in the new in the qualifying system, the new point system that awards points for qualifying for the last 2 years. The bad news is they keep on finishing in last place in a race. So they need to translate this into a victory tomorrow, John.
Yeah, and my apologies. He spun coming into that area at turn seven, not coming out at turn... I was right the first time. Don't doubt yourself, find off. Now he peels off into the pit lane behind the advertising hoardings and will head down for the festivities and to get the commemorative photographs taken. So in GTD, it was Lexus RCF GT3 from Vassar Sullivan, the number 17 car on pole position for the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear here on Belle Isle for 2022. But top of the shop and claiming overall pole position in DPI and leading the field to green tomorrow afternoon will be the Cadillac Racing Cadillac DPI, the 01, the Chip Ganassi run car. And it is Sebastian Bourdais who has blitzed the qualifying record. I reckon, four cars, Jeremy, under the previous qualifying record.
That is pretty remarkable, isn't it? 19.3 was the old standard. 4th place here was 19.334. The old record, 19.373. So, yes, four cars underneath the old record. Bourdais, Blomqvist, Taylor and Lynn. So it seems the two Cadillacs and two Acuras in there. So hats off here to the IMSA technical team. The Cadillacs came into this weekend having to carry 15 kilos extra compared to the most recent round at Mid-Ohio. But it doesn't stop Bourdais, does he? He comes away with a magnificent pole position. He had to work hard for that one.
He was fast on the streets of Long Beach, and he's doubling down on the street circuit. A rich vein of form. He's in fantastic fettle at the moment and has the momentum. He'll lead the field away tomorrow for the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear, and you'll see it and hear it all live here on IMSA Radio. Thanks very much to Jeremy Shaw, who joined me, John Hindhoff, in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre with Cadillac Racing on pole position in Motor City. We'll see you tomorrow for the whole race live.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.